This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey guys, Dr. Vic here. And before we get into today's episode, I wanted to just share with you about my upcoming book, Decoding the Matrix, coming out in May 2022. And right now I have a VIP list that I'm creating that I would love to have you join. And what this is you're going to get a massive discount on the book and a ton of freebies. And it's only going to be available to those on the list. So if you want to looking for an amazing book to come out that's going to help you understand your potential, start your spiritual awakening, and really just see the importance and the value of who you are and what you bring to the table of being existing in this world and understanding how to not allow the matrix to tarnish that, then this book is for you. So check it out in the show notes. You can click on there and you can go ahead and put your information in and you'll be put on the list automatically. I'll be sharing updates on the book. And you're going to, again, like I said, you're going to get an unbelievably massive discount for the book and a ton of freebies. So don't wait. Check the show notes and click on the link and get signed up today. Hey, everyone. This is Dr. Vic, and you're listening to another episode here on The Mindful Experiment. As each week, I have an opportunity to interview someone to share space with us, with you, to go ahead and share their gift, their wisdom, their knowledge to help us level up in some way, shape, or form in life. And this week, I had a blast discussing and talking with Brandon Wilson, and we had such an awesome time. I mean, Brandon, you can tell he's very passionate about what he does. He's all about how to protect leadership through leadership sabotage. He has a book that was just written called Sabotage. And the second one is that we talked a lot about how to be an unstoppable leader, how to break through the barriers and break through these things that people will potentially try to sabotage, not purposefully, but in a way to how to be unstoppable, but break through those things. So that way you can share your gift. You can share your wisdom. You can share your thing to help elevate humanity to move forward.
To dive any further, Brandon is one of the world's best communicators and a sought-after executive consultant. His impact has helped leaders realize daring pursuits from building college campuses to addressing global wealth disparities. But more than this, Brandon is a survivor of leadership sabotage. His bout with betrayal, theft, and deceit cost him more than $600,000 and threatened his livelihood in an unthinkable way. Brandon's experience has taught him that despite a leader's talent level, having an inability to survive leadership sabotage can stop anyone from realizing their full potential. Sit back, relax, enjoy this episode. I promise you'll get as much as I did out of it and so much more. Without any further ado, here is Brandon Wilson. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here, man. Sabotage, leadership, all this, how to overcome it, and so much more. I just think this is a huge topic, and I'm so excited to have you on here now to discuss this. And before we get into all that good stuff, do you mind sharing with us, and my listeners know I like to get right into the beginning of everything, your story. How did you get to what you're doing today? What's the journey? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, everybody has unique experiences. And it's really hard to always talk about your story because it's unique. And your listeners, no matter where they come from, whether they be in healthcare, whether they be in entrepreneurship, whether they be in corporate America, are really concerned about advancing their own position. Like, what can I gain from this 40-minute podcast to help advance my business? And so it's when talking about my own story, I want to be very quick and succinct in talking about it because it's everybody's story is unique. But let me lay the credibility groundwork a little bit before we start talking about leadership. I did have an unconventional path. I've been homeless twice and been a victim of leadership sabotage. I've been, been betrayed and bullied and all of the things that we're talking about. What I take from all of those experiences is that I overcame them. And what it showed me is that throughout life, there are forces that try to stop us from advancing to the next level or advancing closer to our goals. And I have faced many of those forces, some of those being circumstantial, while others being human imposed and some even self-imposed. And I've overcome those and have reached a place where I'm now considered an influential communicator and an advisor to some of the most notable brands in the world and the executives who work at them. I collaborate with folks at Apple. I'm collaborating in with folks at Nike, JP Morgan Chase, Apollo Global Management, and others. And what I've learned is that there's a theme, is that what's been unique to my story in terms of these forces that try to limit me and have tried to stop me, whether they be circumstantial, self-imposed, or human imposed, it's not unique to me. You know, all of those leaders that I advise and provide strategies to go after bold pursuits, they face the same struggles, and they may pronounce themselves in different ways, and they may pronounce themselves in different ways in your practice, in your pursuits. But the common thread here is that we need to understand the best practices that are necessary to allowing you to become an unstoppable leader. So I look forward to sharing that with all of your listeners today.
Love that. Thank you for sharing, brother. So what are some of the things then that like create the sabotage? I have a feeling I've done this to myself, and I'm very curious to see what that is to create that discussion.
Well, let me start. It's two sides of that coin. I mean, there are saboteurs look like other people, but they also look like us. So I'll start with taking your cue there, and let's start talking about self-sabotage. And self-sabotage are the things we do to ourselves, to betray ourselves, to steal from ourselves, to deceive ourselves in order to allow us to preserve present day comfort or complacency. I want that definition to sink in. And so every time you say to yourself, hey, I'm waking up and I want to do something big. I want to do something great. I want to achieve a next level. I want to gain a promotion or earn a promotion or what have you. As soon as that reality comes out of your mouth or becomes action, it unlocks the forces of sabotage that tries to limit you. And the first saboteur that you will face will be yourself. Can I do this? Is this even possible? And so it's important to understand that this happens to everybody. You know, there is even the most confident people in the world wrestle with self-doubt, which is a force that brings about self-sabotage in our lives. Another one is a failure of success. Is another one that and in my book, Sabotage: Leadership That Overcomes Betrayal, Theft, and Deceit, you know, I go through great pains to talk about and dedicate chapters to each one of the forces that lead to self-sabotage. And I'm not a victim. I'm not an exception. I'm also someone who is overcoming self-sabotage. About 2012 or so I had a great idea. I had an idea that I was passionate about, I believed in, so much so that I hired attorneys and I hired research firms. I mean, that's how much I believed in this idea. And the idea was to start a technology company and a logistics company that would allow people to shop and buy groceries and have them delivered to their home. Boom, mind blown, right? Can you believe that somebody would have that idea? I was passionate about it. It was amazing. I said, let's go. And I did the research, wrote the business plan, and was passionate about it. And I went to go. I talked to all the people who were supportive of me, which is a great place to start. I then go talk to a research outfit. And the person who interviewed me at the end of that interview, I was going to hire her or that firm. And she walked me to the door. She said, Brandon, are you sure you want to do this? Like enter the delivery grocery business? I was like, yeah, I think it could be revolutionary because it will provide a platform for moms to shop for other moms. Think about it. I mean, it's revolutionary. Moms know what moms need and henceforth. She was like, well, listen, there's a guy that I talked to who is interested in doing a similar business. And he's already started. He's a little bit way down the road from you. And let me just tell you, it's hard work. He's struggling. It's not going so well. Anyway, give me a call. We're ready to do the work for you. And you know what happens next, right? I go to my car and then I look in the mirror in my car before I pull off. And I told myself, can I survive that hard work? Do I know enough to be successful? You know, do I want to absorb those struggles? Like I let somebody else's experiences become mine or somebody else's perceptions of somebody else's experience become mine. How many times have we done that? And then I go and I look for validation for that. So I go home and talk to people that I trust. I talk to my wife. She's like, well, you know, we got a lot going on. You know, I think you really need to think about starting another business. And this came up and I called some buddies and they start, yeah, you know, it is kind of risky, you know, and I pull the plug. Fast forward, there was a guy, and it may have been the same guy, I don't know. He's a high school dropout, family of entrepreneurs. He lives 15 miles away from where I'm sitting today. And he had a similar idea and he launched it. He did it. He did not self-sabotage. He saw through all those vulnerabilities. And they launched a company and it's called Shipt. You may have heard of it. You may have used it already today. Shipt. He did it because he saw himself as a winner, as a finisher, as somebody who is committed to completion. I didn't. And that vulnerability led me to self-sabotage. And there's a real cost to self-sabotage too. After, you know, about a year later, I was had the great fortune of being in a meeting with Brian Cornell, who's the chairman, president, CEO of Target Corporation. And he purchased Shipt for $500 million. And he stood behind the podium, and somebody from the audience, is about, you know, 75 people at this private meeting, raised their hand and asked Brian and said, "Brian, why did you buy this company?" And you know what he said? He said, "I thought it was revolutionary that somebody created a platform that allowed moms to shop for other moms." That's what he said. $500 million is what I stole from myself. And so I think the first place to talk about in becoming an unstoppable leader is gaining the tools needed to not stop your own leadership pursuits.
Love that. Yeah, it's amazing what you know. I think that's, you know, as a coach myself, it's one of those things when I work with clients, it's amazing to see, like, they want the help, they get excited, right? And then it comes to that point where I'm like, and I think this is another form of self-sabotage. I've done this. This is how I'm just sharing my own little experience here, where you're like, yeah, that sounds great, man. I want to do that. Holy cow, I want to get there. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's get on the call. Let's do this. And then here's what the investment's going to be. And it's like, I don't know if I'm really worth that, man. I don't know. That's a good amount of money. And it's like this self-talk, but I think sometimes it's just it's that work to get there, right? It's just, hey, you got to commit, and I'm going to help you get there, to commit to these things to get you to where you want to go.
And yeah, it's unpacking the work. Yeah. That's when you're faced with, are you truly committed, and can you really stand these headwinds?
And it's funny you brought up shipping with groceries. I remember when Peapod was coming around, and I looked at my buddy. Mm-hmm. I had to be just getting into undergrad. And I looked at him and I said, man, that's the future right there. People are going to be shipping groceries. And he goes, people ain't going to get there. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you. And I just wasn't investing smart at that time. I didn't have understanding of finance. That'd be great. How can we start something like this? I really think this would do it. So I didn't have that. And so I missed that at that boat by a huge mile. Cause now look, like you said, the story, look where we are, look where everything is.
Look where we are. And I tell you this, you know, to be a leader of consequence, you have to be committed to pursuing things that are innovative, and not to sound cliched here. So let me describe innovation. Innovation is introducing a practice that, as if it is normal, even though no one has seen or experienced it yet. So you almost have to get out of your own way, and you have to also get out of your own networks of complacency in order for innovation to even take place in your leadership pursuit, in your leadership journey. Because all everything around you is going to say that's impossible, that can't happen. So you have to almost live in a parallel universe in order to be an innovative leader. You know, just anecdotally, and I've said this often, and I hope it's of benefit to those who are listening to this, is that leaders who become unstoppable have one or all three of these qualities. And I'll explain them as activities so that you can assess whether or not you have a penchant for any of these. And they're broad. The first is, people who run long distances or run marathons. So before you begin and say, "Oh Lord, that's not me. I can't even walk a block without help." I'm not talking about the act of running an entire marathon, more so than I am talking about the crux of the matter is a person who is committed to running to a finish line that no one has seen. Stop right there. If you have the ability to prepare day in and day out to get on a field or on the track or on a road and run to a finish line that nobody has seen, on terrain that nobody has experienced, you may be in Chicago, you may be from New York, you may be in Philadelphia, but you're from Sacramento. I mean, you don't even know what the neighborhood's like, how hilly it is, but you are able to say, "I'm committed to making it to this finish line myself." That's one person. The other person is someone who's committed to traveling, and not just in groups, but by themselves, and willing to be vulnerable enough to get lost in a place, and especially a place where your language is not native. I mean, if you are able to be comfortable or allow yourself to be vulnerable, and in that kind of vulnerability prompts you in order to survive or to endure that experience, you have to invite variance into your life, diversity into your life, inclusion into your life, other people's lived experiences into your life. If you're comfortable with that and you jump headlong, you almost jump out of the plane to go to that place, then that's another quality, being okay with vulnerability. And the last is our foodies, people who are willing to brave or put their health at risk just to experience an adventure and be able to connect with other people who believe in and swear by whatever that octopus will do when it hits their tongue. You know, that kind of adventure leads to or is undergirded by a kind of selfishness that allows you to have adventures that involves you or integrates you into communities that you otherwise wouldn't be a part of. If you are able to take anything out of one or all three of those experiences, then you have the qualities needed to become unstoppable. And what you need to start thinking about now is where do I live on the spectrum of susceptibility to self-sabotage? Where do I live on that spectrum so that I can stop stopping myself?
I like that. And is it just like feeding into what you enjoy? It's like just not like, here's what I'm going to do, forget the noise kind of a mindset?
It is. This is what I'm committed to doing. You know, nobody ever changed the world because other folks said it needed to change. I'm going to repeat that. Nobody ever changed the world because other folks said it needed to change. People woke up and said, there's a better way to do this, and I'm going to make sure it happens. And which leads to the more traditional conversation about sabotage, is that the more consequential your pursuits become, the more audacious your pursuits become, the bolder the things you want to accomplish becomes, the higher the stakes. And so when you start operating in a high stakes leadership environment, it does unlock the forces of human imposed sabotage, leadership sabotage. And before anybody says, this can't happen to me, betrayal, theft and deceit, stuff I see on TV, you know, I want to share a story with you about a guy who sought to revolutionize the world and the way we communicate with each other. He had an idea. He went to his garage and inspired a buddy to come in and build a new kind of technology hardware that would change the way our world communicated with each other. People would pass by the house and it was like, these guys are crazy. What the heck is going on here? He got some investors to believe in it. He built the company. He hired a CEO, a guy named John, and that CEO saw that maybe this guy was on to something and he really could change the world and make a lot of money doing it. So now the stakes are high. And so what John did was say, hey, I need to get a piece of this action. Let me start a reputation assassination campaign to get this founder out of the way. And let me start talking about telling people of repute and of influence that this guy is cantankerous, you know, off his rocker, is running toward a future that doesn't exist, gonna lose all of their money. And because the stakes were so high, other people believed that person. And the guy who started and envisioned that world was, you know, for all intents and purposes, fired from his job. And the reason I share that story is because we often think that we're too smart to be sabotaged. And when I tell you the name of that person who was, you know, removed from his perch and who was the visionary behind this, you're going to say, wow, he's one of the smartest and most legendary leaders we know. And his name is Steve Jobs. He was a victim of sabotage, leadership sabotage. It was what happened in his second act, the overcoming part, that has made him legendary. So when he recovered from his sabotage, he called it betrayal. He calls it sabotage himself in many of his writings. And when he spoke about the instance, what he did was is he embraced mastery in a leadership discipline that we don't talk a lot about, and that is protecting our leadership journeys and our leadership pursuits. One of the most enduring qualities of Steve Jobs was his uncanny ability to be able to assess those who were for his visions and pursuits and those who were prepared to stand against his visions and pursuits. And because he became a master at overcoming leadership sabotage, we now have so much more than a computer that fits in our hand. I want to be very clear about that. That was not the pursuit. Let's go back to the garage. What he was after was fundamentally changing the way that we engage with the world and how the world engages with us. And if he did not take serious over the protecting his leadership pursuits from leadership sabotage, we may be living today in a completely different world. And this is why my book is so important, talking about the forces of leadership sabotage, whether they be imposed by others or self-imposed, is so important because each of you have your own unique gifts to offer the world. Each of you have your own unique gifts to offer your neighborhood, your community, your household. And if you allow or don't take serious protecting those things that that you are out to pursue from the forces that seek to limit you, then you will be allowing sabotage to rob the world, your community, your home, your family, your own person, your careers of the incredible gifts that you have to offer it.
I love that story. I mean, it's amazing with Steve Jobs. Another one too is his nemesis or his competitor or the one who stole from him or whoever that story is. But Bill Gates in 1980s, I think it was 89, 83, 85. I can't remember the exact year, but it was in the 80s. And I remember he got asked and he's like, what's your vision? And he goes, I see what I want to do for the world. I see everybody having a PC in their household. Mm. And the people looked at him and said, are you freaking crazy?
Are you like insane?
Exactly. Like, you know how much those computers cost? You know how much to sit? And they just gave him all the negatives. And he goes, no, it's going to happen. And, you know, and when you were talking about the story and stuff, it's kind of like the story of or the quote on Gandhi when he says, you know, first they ignore you, but then they'll start to laugh at you when you start to get more persistent with
That's right. That's
and
right.
then they're going to fight you on it. But then eventually you're going to win as long as you stay with it.
Yeah. And I'll, there are tons of examples of this. And I go back, and this is not self-promotion. This is a belief in how important and how regarded the subject of sabotage is. You name Gates, right? I'll name you some more leaders who had to face and overcome sabotage. One is Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
Mind blown.
Totally.
If he allowed the forces of sabotage in his form with reputation assassination being led by J. Edgar Hoover, we probably wouldn't even know the concept of integration today. I mean, think about how consequential that is. I'll name another one. Thomas Edison. I mean, think about it. We take photos for granted. He didn't create the light bulb for the light bulb. He created the light bulb along the way to creating platforms that allow us to share memories with each other. His inventions led to modern day videography, photography. I mean, if he allowed other scientists to steal and survive what he was after, forget an iPhone, we wouldn't even be able to take pictures and share them with other people. I mean, how amazing that is. And there are all of these stories. You know, Maurice and Richard McDonald's, the real founders of McDonald's. They didn't protect their pursuits. And Ray Kroc literally stole their company from them. I mean, think about that. So the reason I say that is to share this, make the case that leadership sabotage is so pervasive, yet so under talked about, that we are, by not focusing more on the limiting forces around us, we are allowing those people who seek to betray, deceive, and steal from us an advantage when it comes to stymieing our own advancement and our own growth, whether they be personal or professional. And so for every leader, they're about with sabotage. And the last thing I like to tell folks is I believe that there are 300 other Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s, and 299 of them were taken out by saboteurs. I like to believe that there were 500 more Steve Jobs in the world, and 499 of them were taken out by betrayal, theft, and deceit, never made it off the runway. I want you to think about that. You could be the one that breaks through and do that revolutionary thing that you are waking up every day passionate about doing. But it's important that you understand that at the front porch of success, I mean, at the door of success, the front porch is sabotaged. And in order to get to that door, you have to have some equipment and some tools needed to complete the journey and to finish. And that's what my book equips you with. It's called Sabotage: Leadership That Overcomes Betrayal, Theft, and Deceit.
I love that. Yeah, I love, there's so many people, like when you were talking, I'm like, Muhammad Ali was another one who just came out talking, and everyone's like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? He goes, you watch, I'll be the greatest of all time.
I'm gonna shake up the world. You're crazy.
Yeah. So many I'm thinking of.
Shook up the world.
So we've been discussing sabotage. Let's dive into a little bit then. So what is it that a leader needs to do, or how do they become unstoppable to break through these barriers and to become that, you know, the next Steve Jobs, to open up, to express their gifts, to no matter what comes their way? Because like a lot of times I tell people, like when they have a great idea and a gift, I'm like, hold it with yourself. And like, why do you mean that? Why do you say that? I was like, because don't tell it to the most closest people to you.
That's right.
Because
that's
of right. that. And it, and,
that's
and
right.
It, and I wish that wasn't true. I really don't. But it's just, unfortunately, it just is what it is. But, you know, how can leaders be unstoppable? How can they break through these things?
Yeah. And this is a great place for us to provide real skills for folks. You know, when we're driving in our car or riding in an airplane, you're a pilot or whatever, but more likely driving in our car, there's really subtle nuances that happen that make you say, man, something doesn't feel right here. Let me take my car to a mechanic. And then that mechanic diagnoses what the problem is and says, yeah, there is some debris in here that is affecting A, B, and C, and it's affecting how your car runs. There are some components here or parts here that's been in a position for too long. And, you know, it's affecting how your car runs. And so you have a choice then to either repair or replace those things. In our own lives and our own networks, we are faced with the same thing. If there are people who are frustrating our journeys around us, it could be because they've been in a position too long, or they feel like they've been overlooked for promotions and that they have nothing to lose. So they become vulnerable to the forces to become a saboteur. And the other is that they have been influenced by others in their network, where they may go to seek advisory counsel for someone else, maybe courted for companies or other places. And then they're bringing bad influences in with them. So that's that debris that gets in. The challenge that we face is we often see saboteurs when they reveal themselves and it's too late. The spouse is gone. Our soulmate is gone. Our business is gone. Our investments are gone by the time we realize it. So what I like to do is share with you four things that put you in a position to see sabotage before it strikes. I call these the four horsemen of sabotage. And to protect yourself from them, it's important that you know that sabotage rides on one of four horses. We call these the four horsemen of sabotage. The first, in no particular order, is jealousy. If you hear, or you yourself, hear yourself using language of hatred about a fixed pie mentality that really talks about why is it that person A gets something because you wanted it or because somebody else says it and they say because they wanted it. Why do people always believe that Sherry will always do A, B, C, and D? You know, that kind of language is a horseman that rides in and lays the ground for sabotage. And jealousy is hatred disguised as anything but. And if it allows to fester and to grow, it can reach the level of covetousness. And this horseman is incredibly skilled, and it's more than just words, but they will put action to trying to hide or limit your access to opportunities for the advancement of the people that they loathe. And so it's really important to see and to hear that horseman as in your network and in your ecosystem, because they make fertile ground for actions of sabotage. The other horseman is arrogance. Arrogance is defined by blind ambition, by a inability to be coached. Every time we give insights or suggestions for improvement is seen as a personal affront. It is driven by insatiable competition to win, and sometimes by any means. And so when you start seeing those characteristics and megalomania, those characteristics start to form around your ecosystem, you know that that horseman is around you, and it leads to a certain set or certain kinds of sabotage. And we outline the types of behavior and what you need to do whenever you spot that horseman. The other one is lying, the horseman of lying. And people lie for a lot of reasons, but two of them is to distract from themselves, to say, hey, look over there so that I cannot be the point of the focus of attention, and I can continue to bask in and dwell in my pleasant comforts and the things that I master without anybody messing with me. And then there's another level of lying where people literally lie to harm others, where it's not just look over there, but it's my new supervisor, whom I don't want to be in the position, said something off color to me, and they need to be removed. Sexually harassed me, and they need to get out of here, or whatever it is. And so that horseman of lying gives way to a set of sabotaging behavior as well. And then the last is seduction, the horseman of seduction. And these are, we're not talking like intimately. What I mean is these are people who are skilled master. This horseman is ridden by people who are masters of getting you to go along their journey, their leadership journey, and their bold pursuits. And they are well curated. They have lives that seem larger than life. They have the word high, high performer stamped on their forehead. And you want to be with these people because they may look like they may be the next CEO of that corporation. They may be they're on the rise, high potential all day. But their flaw is that they want to win by any means necessary. And to keep harm from ever coming to their door, they relish being able to recruit an entourage of people who may be even interested in doing their bidding, even if it's unseemly or close to being unethical. In the event that harm does come their way, they have people to throw under the bus, and they continue to get those people to join. One of their most popular ways is to say, when I get this promotion, you're coming with me. The downside is you'll never be, no matter how loyal you are or how much you follow, you'll never be promoted or advanced further than that horseman. So those are the four horsemen of sabotage.
Wow, I love that. The last one, you kind of bring up a point for me where, and I'm not against groups at all. I think they serve a purpose, and I'm very a big fan of them to a certain degree. But then there's the other side of it where you just shared where, like, when people join groups or be part of groups and they let that lead them and guide them and go there, I always say you can be in a group and it's great, learn from it, take the information, but then make sure you stay yourself, stay independent, because you become blurred in with everyone. But more importantly, you'll never be able to surpass the person who leads the group, because the person who leads the group most of the time will not allow that to happen in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Authenticity is a superpower. And being courageous enough and bold enough to be that authentic leader matters. There are two laws, leadership laws, that really predicated on what you just said that I think are also important. And I hope it encourages leaders to be their authentic selves, even when they're faced with that those kind of environments. You know, culture is anchored in two laws, especially work culture, professional culture, even our homes. If your mother is and you run their house, is that there's a law of replication. And the law of replication just basically says that people will do as you do before they do what you say. And so you are in a tug of war every time you enter into a culture where people do unseemly things. You can look at, you know, old school Wells Fargo. You can look at Theranos. You can look at, you know, those people are replicating the behavior of the leaders and doing things that are unseemly. And if you find yourself in one of those places, you have a choice. Do I replicate that behavior, or do I be authentic and hope that other people replicate my behavior? Now, ultimately, what's going to end up happening is you either affect the culture or you part ways, which brings us to the second law, is the law of attraction, is that you will know if you are a good fit into a place because those leaders' behaviors are anchored in values. Those leaders' behaviors are anchored in values, and you typically attract people who share those same values. So you can look at the people who've been at organizations for a long time or who are advancing, who gets the promotions, and they usually share or are the values that the leader who's given the promotion find attractive. And so you yourself, when you are in a position to lead a division or lead a group, you're going to be attracting people that share your values. And that often leads to affinity bias. So you have to ward off against becoming too homogenous. But those two laws are important to understand because you have the ability to break those chains in any corporation, any company, any group that you are a leader, because you need to be bold and courage enough to bring your authentic self to every place you are in. So that you put that organization in a position to confront its own vulnerabilities. And to become unstoppable, authenticity is a tool you need to carry everywhere with you.
I couldn't agree with you more there. I'm a huge fan of authenticity, and things I always teach is, you know, you got to keep that no matter what. That's what kind of it just keeps you, especially in the day of age where we are today, it definitely could be a gift and a tool to allow to thrive in different situations and so forth.
There's nothing like going home, looking yourself in the mirror after you've left work, and for that first hour after you've left that toxic work environment, you don't even recognize the person you see in the mirror. I mean, think about that. Like you don't want to live that kind of life where you sacrifice so much of your authenticity that you have to find yourself by the time you sit down at the dinner table. Come on.
Tell me about it. I love it. I love
it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, brother, how can people connect with you, find you, get a copy of your book? Where's it located? All that good stuff.
Well, you can buy the book is in paperback form, is in audiobook form, is ebook form. You can go on Amazon, but the easiest place I tell folks is brandonwilson.co. brandonwilson.co. Again, that's brandonwilson.co. When you go to that website, you will learn about the book. You'll learn about me and my nearly two decades of helping leaders unlock the next levels of their leadership and protecting their bold pursuits. And you can also reserve time with me just for free, just because I'm passionate about the subject. This is my ministry. You know, if there's something you're vexed with at the company, at your company or in your home, in your neighborhood, in your practice that you just want to share with me and get my advice and my insights on, you know, you can go to brandonwilson.co, book my time. And you can also purchase Sabotage, Leadership That Overcomes Betrayal, Theft and Deceit at brandonwilson.co as well.
Love it, brother. I appreciate your passion for leadership and all that you're doing and taking some time out of your day just to share with our listeners how to not sabotage, prevent leadership sabotage, and then how to be an unstoppable leader. So thanks for your time, brother. I greatly appreciate it and enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much.
thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.